The Ambitious Radio Network. Conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders. Are you an entrepreneur, startup junkie, or just someone interested in improving their leadership skills? If you're looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening to Ambitious Radio will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with today's most influential thought leaders and entrepreneurs as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can apply immediately after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambitious Radio. This is your host, Doug Parker, and today we have got a great guest on the show for you. Today we've got Carl Gould, and Carl is a business growth expert, mentor, and entrepreneur. He has built three multi-million dollar businesses by age 40 and mentored the launch of over 5,000 businesses. Yes, 5,000 businesses. And trained over 7,000 business coaches in 35 countries. He's a best-selling author, and he also best-selling author of three books, Blueprint for Success, The 7 Stages of Small Business Success, and most recently, Biz Dev Done Right. Carl regularly appears on the home improvement reality TV show, This House 2, and each week co-hosts Quit and Get Rich on iHeartRadio. He's married with three children and a member of EO New Jersey. Carl, welcome to the show, sir. What did I miss in the intro?
Oh, my God. Now I know why I'm so tired.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it's painful.
No, you didn't miss anything at all. That's it's been a wild ride. You know, I started my entrepreneurial career in construction. My first two businesses that I built were construction related, and you know, they really weren't my passion, Doug. And but I learned that 20 years ago. I hired a business coach for my businesses, and I said to him, you know, we got to hang up the hammer. I've got to get out of this business, and I've got to start doing what I love to do. And I started on a journey in the 90s where I was doing coaching part time, and then I graduated into more of a much more of a full-time coaching role, and it's evolved into the business that I have today. So as busy as I keep myself, I feel like I haven't worked in 20 years. So,
well, now let's talk about that just a minute, because you know, so many times people, you know, they kind of meander through life and they find something that maybe they're kind of good at and they're making a living at, or maybe they're not even that great at it, but still they're making a living at it. And for whatever reason, they get in that little rut, and it's a comfortable rut, and they're just kind of moving along. And you know, you get these expenses of life tied to whatever income you're making, and it makes it more and more difficult to jump. And so, you know, construction is obviously not for the weak at heart. It's hard work, and you're dealing with, you know, a bunch of people. It's kind of like herding cats. I mean, I've got a little bit of a background from growing up with some construction, and so let's talk about that. I mean, how did you decide, you know, what were you doing in construction, and how did you decide to hire a coach? Because from my experience, the construction world is not necessarily the people that you think of hiring coaches. So how did you make that determination?
Yes, and not in the 90s. Like coaching for the most part has gotten rid of the stigma that if you're using a coach, there must be something wrong with you or wrong with your business. But definitely in the beginning, if you had a coach, that must mean you're screwing something up, right? And you know, and so I had to. I just happened to be of the mind that coaching is a benefit. It's a privilege. It's something to accelerate my success. Not that it's a, you know, a problem with me necessarily. I had gone to a Tony Robbins personal development seminar early in 1990, and I'd taken some other classes with Stephen Covey and Ken Blanchard and Dale Carnegie and some others. So I was very much a fan of personal development and saw the benefit in it. And so, you know, my business, I started out in landscaping. I started that in 1986, and I grew that business. That was my first business. I grew that business and sold it in 1992. I, like you said, I was just kind of meandering more as far as my life's purpose. It was a successful business, but I was not really fully sure about what my life's purpose is, what I was doing, what my calling was. And I was in college, and in my second year of studying accounting and finance, I broke my leg pretty badly and I had to leave school. And, you know, after 3 months in a cast and three more months, you know, and basically in traction, and 3 more months going through physical therapy to learn how to bend my leg again and use it and all, you know, I was broke living at home and all of my grants and scholarships ran out. So I had to, you know, I had to say, all right, I've got to make money. It's time to put my big boy pants on and start, you know, jumping into my career, whether I like it or not. I've got responsibilities now. And since I did landscaping all throughout high school, I thought, you know what, this is something I know, something I'm good at, and I can do it. And so I jumped into it, started that business, and I wasn't truly happy. I didn't realize it at the time, but I wasn't truly happy. I was proud of the fact that I was growing a thriving business. I was proud of the fact that things were going well. You know, that business doubled every year, and then I sold it in 1992. And that was the first business that I had built that I exited. And so it was going very well, but you know, there was something kind of lacking. But since I was in my 20s and I was on a growth trajectory and I was going you know, and I was, you know, in my life growing up a bit, it just seemed like, hey, progress, progress, progress. So I felt like I was doing well. But when I started my construction company, you know, after 4 years of that, it's now 1996. I said, you know, I was actually in the, I'll never forget. I was in the, office of the guy who was where I parked all of my vehicles. It was a service station. And in the owner of the service station was hosting his networking group and some of his friends. And so he said, hey, you want to talk to this guy, Eric? He's a business mentor. I think he could probably lend a hand to the growth of your business. Huh. I thought, okay, well, that sounds interesting. Why don't we sit down and talk? And after sitting down with him for 2 hours and we just talked through what does a business mentor do and how you can go about running your business rather than your business running you, I thought, you know what, I want to give this a shot. And so I started working with Eric. We worked for 5 years and it was fantastic because every time we talked, I got another distinction about how to run my business better, how to take back control of my life, how to, you know, how to understand what the finances, you know, look beyond the finances. I mean, I went to school for accounting and finance, so I knew what the numbers, what the definition of the numbers were, but then to convert that into business strategy was a totally different concept to me. I met with my accountant every year and he told me, where'd you make money? Where'd you lose money? Where did we depreciate this? And I'm like, no, all right. But it was never proactive. It was always reactive. And so after working with him for a few years and my business doing well, and I felt like I was running my business, not the other way around, I said, I want to do what you do. I want to figure it out. And, you know, back in the 90s, Doug, doing what we do today, it just didn't exist in the form that it's in now. You know, so back then to say you were going to start a business coaching practice and that was going to be your business and you were going to be this is going to be a long-term endeavor for you. You know, it just wasn't in that form. And so it was kind of a radical concept at the time. And when I announced I'm going to start preparing my business for exit, they were like, you're doing what? You know, why would you do that? And what are you going to do? And then I told them, oh yeah, I'm going to go and become a business coach. And they were like, what the hell is that? You know, why would you leave a successful business for something that doesn't even exist? You know, you're basically going to have to create the position you're about to go into. Why would you do all this? And I just, you know, I just was so unhappy. And I had come to the realization after coaching as many people as I did in the 90s, doing life coaching for Tony Robbins and some others, I said, you know, this ain't it. I cannot stay in this business. I've got to find out what, you know, is going to make me more happy, make me more productive person, you know, so I can hopefully be a better role model for the people that are around me.
Sure. Well, and let's talk a little bit just about, you know, you personally and maybe some of your maybe personal recommendations or things that you like when it comes to books and stuff like that. We're going to jump a lot more in the next segment into the business and what you're doing right now. But yeah. Do you have a favorite book in addition to the ones that you've written that you recommend to people or gift to them?
Well, yeah, there's a couple that I really like, and a couple of staples that I think are worth reading. One is called The Celestine Prophecy. The Celestine Prophecy, I thought was a really, really interesting book. It hit me at the right time, and the premise of it is that there are no coincidences. That things start to show up in your life in the order and sequence in which you need them and are ready for them. And so it was a fascinating book, and it really caught me at a time that, you know, when I was trying to determine my life's direction. So, Celestine Prophecy, absolutely one of those. Another one is called The Science of Getting Rich. And it was written by Wallace Wattles in the early 1900s. And when you read it sounds like a book that was written in 1906. No longer have I that power, so therefore so you have to get past the language a little bit, Doug, but it's about a 100-page book. It's really easy read. And for those of you that may remember the book about, I don't think about 10 years ago, called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. That was like a modern day adaptation of The Science of Getting Rich. And I love The Science of Getting Rich, which also resonated with me at the right time, because there's this whole section in the book about make the best of where you're at, because you're going to need those skills when you go to the next step in your life. So if you're in a place in your life where you're not happy, if you're in a place in your life where you're not, things aren't working out, and you don't still make the best of it, you're going to take that failed set of at tasks and disciplines, or lack of, with you to the next one. You haven't earned the right yet for that better opportunity. So anyway, that one I thought was really, really good. I enjoyed that. I like Rich Dad Poor Dad. That was a big book for me at the, you know, and you know, it's a very iconic book. But it is now 12 years old, so not as many people are familiar with it. But Rich Dad Poor Dad was a really influential book for me, and you know, a staple. If you're in personal development at all, you have to read Think and Grow Rich. Those are a couple that are really important. Now, I do another thing that I like on a that gives me a lot of inspiration personally is I like to read the biographies of successful people. So I've read the books on Steve Jobs and John F. Kennedy and Gandhi. Those books are interesting to me because I like to get behind the thinking of what made them who they are. You know, the way it's portrayed of if you go to John F. Kennedy, who's someone I use as an example often, history has shown that he was probably much more of a great visionary than he was a president, and that he made a ton of mistakes as a president, you know. But one of the way he was able to portray the way it was portrayed about how he handled the Cuban Missile Crisis, where he was getting, you know, conflicting information even from his own advisors, but yet he was able to see through to what was the necessary and important way to handle that situation. And it turned out the way that it should have was just remarkable. It was a stroke of brilliance. And so I like observing how people handle certain situations in their life, you know. So you can obviously be a fan of Nelson Mandela, but the way Nelson Mandela handled his relationship with his wife, who, you know, Nelson Mandela went from being a radical. You know, a lot of people don't realize this. He was a radical against the government, and then he became an ally of the government when he came out of prison. And his wife remained a radical against the government, and he actually divorced her because they no longer could share enough view in common, you know, and where he was going in his life. They just couldn't be married before. I mean, these are some things I didn't know about the story, and I find very, very inspiring. You know, not that the guy got divorced, but the way that he was able, and they parted amicably, but the manner in which they maintained their standards was is just very, very inspiring to me.
Man, amazing, amazing information, and I really appreciate you sharing all that with us and everyone. When you're tuning in, if you're driving down the road, if you're maybe listening where you can't jot these things down, you can always go to ambitiousradio.com. You can check on the show notes, and we'll put links to all the books and all the things that Carl has mentioned. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Tune in after a brief word from our sponsors, where we'll hear more from Carl Gould and his career pursuits right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hey, ambitious listeners, you hear us interviewing entrepreneurs all the time, and there's a common theme. They want to be more productive and improve their communication. As an ambitious entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. The Ambitious Radio Network recently partnered with Grasshopper to offer our listeners a special discount. Log on to ambitiousradio.com and click on the Grasshopper banner in the bottom right-hand corner. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Sound professional with a main greeting and multiple extensions that forwards callers to your mobile phone or others in your organization. Get a total free number or local number for your business with multiple extensions. Set up each extension with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. Get your voicemails emailed to you as an audio attachment or transcribe an email. Keep business calls separate from your personal calls. Plans start at $12 a month with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember to click on the Grasshopper banner at ambitiousradio.com for a special discount for our listeners. Join the over 150,000 small business owners that have stayed connected with Grasshopper. See how Grasshopper works? It's the entrepreneur's phone system. Turn the world into your office. All right, welcome back to Ambitious Radio, and today we've got Carl Gould with us, and this guy is dropping golden nuggets all over the place. Success definitely leaves breadcrumbs, and I'll tell you what, there's no doubt that he's dropping some of those on us right now. Carl, how are you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there. This has been awesome. Thanks so much, Doug. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Man, I appreciate you coming on. I've talked about this a million times, but I started this show really for an opportunity to get some mentoring, you know, from some people that I always wanted to talk to and get an hour of their time and promote a little something or whatever they were doing, and you know, have continued almost for 2 years now. So lots of great information. But let's jump into business. I know we've kind of danced around and talked a lot about business, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, how is it that you monetize your business right now? Exactly what are you doing at the moment? And then we'll transition in the next segment to kind of some of the things that are coming up next. I know you got a book that just was recently released and some of those things, but tell us what you do on a daily basis.
Sure. So my business now is I'm a business growth expert, and my firm, Seven Stage Advisors, works with small to mid-market firms and shows them how to create scalable and long-term profitable businesses. And so we look to hyper-grow your revenues and profits. And our team is a group of entrepreneurs. So if you've ever seen the TV show on CNBC, The Profit, with Marcus Lemonis, mm-hmm. That's pretty much what we do. We sometimes invest in our clients, and sometimes we invest our services, sometimes capital, sometimes both, or we're just simply the advisor. And we look at every aspect of a client's business and we say, okay, what would have to happen here so you would feel like you had the systems in place, the people in place, you know, the differentiating factors of your business, the strategic plan that's compelling and inspiring. And you are not only building your P&L, you know, you're making more than you spend, but you're also building your balance sheet, which is all the assets that will at some point go back to work for you as opposed to you working for them. What's interesting is we become an extension of the management team of our clients, meaning we not only show them the path and how to get there, we then roll up our sleeves and we become part of the management team and we help get it all done. And so every one of the advisors that works with one of our clients has bought, sold, managed, or run a business as big, if not bigger, than the one you're trying to build. So they totally know the road ahead. And that's why we've done so many launches over the years and why we've worked with so many fast-growing companies.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, or I guess I mentioned in the intro what you'd sent over to me with, you know, over 5,000 companies. So let's talk about that for a minute. So, you know, let's say I'm on the internet and somehow or another I run across your website and then I want to engage with you. What does that transition look like? You know, how do you, you know, you said sometimes it's an investment of resources, of time, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a little bit of both. But what does that interview process look like, if you will?
Oh, great. It's a great question. So we also like to give back to the entrepreneurial community. And our form of doing that is we do a couple, I think it's about 400 free consultations and free mentoring strategy sessions with entrepreneurs. And we sit down with an entrepreneur and we say, okay, we're going to walk you through this process, this what we call the business analysis. And we walk you through a process where we will not only show you where your business is performing against where it should be, but we also will offer up 5 growth strategies for your business. And that's something that we just do because we want to give back. Somebody was there for me when I needed it, so we want to be there for others that might be that need it. And you'll notice that in the Celestine Prophecy. And so that's our way of starting the conversation. So we will sit down with an entrepreneur, spend a couple hours with them, and give them everything we know that will show them how to grow their business. And during that process, if we see it's a fit, like we think we can help that company and that company wants help and wants it from us, we continue the conversation and we decide what's the best way for us to work together. So it's really, you know, it's our joke internally is that we will coach and advise you until you insist on paying us. So that's basically our sales system. We'll meet with, sit down with a with the owner of a business, and the way they do that is they just inquire. I'm sure we'll do that at some point on the show, but they go to our website, they click a little submit form or contact us, and we'll sit down, do an analysis, and hopefully show them a path to growth, and then we'll explore what the best way is for us to work together.
Sounds great. So let's talk just a minute about, you know, obviously you've had multiple successes, but let's talk about failure for just a moment, because, you know, the only way you have massive success is you got to have a few failures along the way. And, you know, it's just because you're trying new things, there's activity. So think through, you know, and it could be one of your favorite failures, or maybe some business owner that you assisted that, you know, something was a, seemed like a massive failure, but out of it came some real great opportunity or maybe just a great turnaround. Anything comes to mind when it comes to your favorite failure?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny. The like you said, the at the time they seem like failures, but they come back to be some of your greatest lessons. You know, I was one of my greatest success, probably if you want to call it a failure, but each of the two construction businesses that I was in, even though they were successful, I learned that, you know, at least for me, I can't do something I don't like. I just can't do it. It is, I could be good at it, but it is such an emotional drain on me that I won't make it. I just flat out won't make it. I mean, I'm a pretty energetic guy, Doug, but I was a 30-something year old guy who was totally burnt out, totally, you know, and I was, 31 years old at the time. And I'm thinking, man, I can't believe how tired I am constantly. You know, I was whipped. And so so getting out of work that I didn't like and getting into the work that I do like, that was one lesson I totally learned. I was on the second ever home improvement reality television show, This House 2. And I was the construction manager, you know, which was great. And that business went for a year, but it never was able to secure the sponsorship that it needed in order to continue. So it was only a year, which was unfortunate. But, you know, and then, you know, I guess timing is everything in life. And then all these cable shows came out, Trading Spaces and, you know, flip this house and Fixer Upper and all these other ones now that, you know, they're all over the place. But I think we were just a little before our time, and it was you know, we had the most brilliant show that nobody cared about, you know, realizing that, you know, it's not just about the content. It's got to really speak to the audience and where things are culturally at the time, because, you know, it was great. The dozen or so people that watched us loved us, but we never built an audience. And so that really taught me that, you know, the market tells you what you are. You don't tell the market what you are. So that was a real lesson that came out of that for me.
You know, that is great information. The market tells you who you are. You know, I really love things like, for instance, the Apple iPhone. It's great that you can tell people they got to go get in a line, they got to wait on your product, and that's that. But frankly, other than those types of things, and there might be one or two of those that I can come up with, nobody else operates that way. And I've seen people in business or small business that they try to operate like they're such a big deal that, you know, they're the ones that determine the market. And I'm thinking, man, there's only a few people in this world that can get away with that kind of stuff, and you're not one of them, you know. And, you know, I know I'm not one of them either. And so, you know, you make up for it in hard work and in, you know, just creativity and grinding it out and making it happen. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the timing, everything kind of, you know, prepares you and grooms you for other stuff. And I'm sure it was really cool being on a TV show. And then it's kind of disappointing that it didn't continue, but it opened up all these other things for you. And so great information for our ambitious listeners. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to be notified of all the guests that are coming up, you can text the word ambitious to 69922. Standard messaging rates do apply. Again, that is the word ambitious to 69922. Next, we're going to be talking to Carl more about the things that he's doing right now, but also what's next on his plate and how he makes that transition right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Are you tired of paying too much for electricity from the former monopolies and getting terrible customer service? Do you really even know how much you're paying per kilowatt? Sometimes they quote you a lower rate, but then add back in the delivery charge. Ugh, how frustrating. Go to electricity.guru, that's right, .guru, for your free analysis. Who knows, with just a few referrals, you could actually earn free electricity. If you're tired of paying outrageous electricity bills, do something about it. Would you like to get a significant discount or even get free electricity? Go to electricity.guru and compare our rates to what you're currently paying. Many of our clients are saving anywhere from 15 to 20%. We also have a referral program that allows you to earn free electricity. Yes, free electricity. And you cannot beat free cents per kilowatt. Award-winning service, competitive rates, and low deposits, if even required. Go to electricity.guru for more details. That's electricity.guru. We offer free energy credits to customers who refer and activate 15 or more qualified customers to our electricity service and are not passed through on their bill. To get your free energy credit, your customers must be referred through the free customer gathering website. See electricity.guru for more details. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we've got Carl Gould, and I'm telling you what, I'm taking voracious notes. I'm loving all the nuggets he's dropping on us, and now we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, current projects and what's kind of in, you know, in the works for his next opportunity and what those look like and how he transitions through that. So let's just jump right in, Carl. Tell us about, you know, projects that you're currently working on that you can publicly discuss, and then maybe how you've made those decisions to transition through. I know you've written a few books and got a new one out right now. So can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure, absolutely. So my most recent book was a book called Biz Dev Done Right, and I co-authored that with a good friend and colleague, Karen Kopp. And it's about demystifying the sales process, because, you know, there's so many things about selling that are, you know, people have total misconceptions about. So we said, hold on a second. Let's just, you know, I don't want to say dumb this down. Let's simplify that, make a process out of this. And let's show you what this stuff is really all about. It's not all that hard. So we're very proud of that book. It became a number one bestseller on Amazon last year. I'm working on a couple of other projects right now. One is called The Greatest Transfer of Wealth in Human History. And it's about how baby boomers are at the point now where they want to retire from their businesses. And the problem is that, one, there's not enough buyers for all the businesses out there. And two, the next generation that they would love to pass their business along to doesn't want the business. And so what you're going to learn, the primary way that business is going to transfer and wealth is going to transfer, it, you know, for the first time in mass, is that, you know, business owners are going to sell to their management teams, which was not always the case. And so it's really interesting phenomenon. It's happening now a little bit. It's bubbling under the surface, but this is something that really is going to this is going to be the trend in how wealth transfers. You know, it used to be just by blood, but not anymore. It's going to be by business blood. So it's a fascinating project. I'm loving it, and that'll be coming out next year. In the meantime, I've written a couple of other books: The Anatomy of a Comeback, The Hot Tub Manifesto, and Polar Bears and Penguins. One's on organizational diversity. One is molding your business to you, not the other way around. And one is an amazing comeback story from a guy who went just through the depths of hell in business and life, came back, and I break it down and give you the anatomy. Chuck Getchell gives you the comeback story. I give you the anatomy. So that was a fun project, and those will be coming out this year.
You know, that's exciting. So I didn't realize you were such a prolific writer. I was actually just looking back through my notes. I was like, wait a minute, did I announce the wrong books that he's written here? But those are additional books. And so, you know, writing books and being a published author is something that so many people want to do. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is that something that was a goal of yours? Is it something that you're doing it for the monetization? Is it for the buildup of your kind of you know, who you are? I mean, what made you write these books?
Well, you know, I consider myself to be a writer first, and I'm not saying I'm good at it. I just consider myself to be a writer. I've always aspired to be a writer, and I wrote my first book, typed every word and every letter of it, and I'll never do that again. And I found out that writing is a totally different skill than speaking or presenting or being a broadcaster. They're different skills. And to write a book, write a story in such a way that somebody would want to read it on a printed page is just a totally different skill. And so I feel like I have things to offer and things to share. And, you know, I've done 75,000 sessions with entrepreneurs from all around the world. We have 50,000 data points in our analysis assessment instruments, and there's a lot of distinctions that have come out of that. And I'm feeling almost compelled to share that with people, so it just can help them and can shorten their learning curve. And I just want to become a time machine for other people, so they can shorten the learning curve like some others have done for me. But what I've done is I've created a system, and I've become the kind of co-author and creative backbone, if you will, for other people that are trying to write their books. And so I take them through a process where we create a book outline, then I interview them kind of podcast style, and we create 24 hours worth of audio content, which then gets transcribed, which then goes to a ghostwriter. And then while it's being ghostwritten, I work with the author on building out their graphics and their page format and their themes and case studies and that sort of thing. And then when those pieces all come back together, we've got a book that we're ready to publish. And so I've been doing a lot of collaboration over the last couple of years, which has really been super. And that's starting to come back out into the marketplace. So people are starting to see it now.
You know, that's great information, because there's so many people that they have a story inside them. They might be able to verbally articulate it, or maybe they can, you know, write it. But having the whole combination of having the story, being able to put it in writing, and then have it be a text where it will jump off the page and somebody else will want to read it, you know, that's a great, you know, thing that you've put together there. And I didn't even realize that you were doing that, but that's really cool how that works. So we've got just maybe 2 minutes left in this segment, but can you talk just a little bit about kind of what's next for you, what you envision, what you see next on the horizon for projects you're working on?
I want to get more and more involved with disrupting industries and getting more involved with the ownership of businesses. You know, like I said, we do very much like The Profit, you know, that TV show, and we still are a traditional consulting firm, but we want to get more involved with our clientele, and we want to disrupt some more industries. So I want to become more of that vocal voice of entrepreneurship and how to in- innovate and take your business to the next level. So I've been doing an awful lot of TV work. There's going to be a lot of books on their way out, and we're going to really be publishing a lot of content. We just started, we just launched our magazine called The Seven Stage Advisor, which is a quarterly magazine, and, you know, filled with subject matter expertise for our readers. And so we're heading down that path to become that thought leader in overall business and entrepreneur growth. So that's where you're going to see me. Doug, we're going to be much more vocal and much more visible in those areas.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, that kind of puts a nice little bow on this segment. And after a brief word from our sponsors again, we'll hear more from Carl about how he recharges his ambitious body, mind, and spirit right here on the Ambitious Radio Network.
Another RepairMyCreditNow.com story.
It's a day this family had dreamed of for quite some time. They were finally getting that brand new SUV. The salesperson at the auto dealership gave them the keys and told them to take it for the weekend. He'd prepared the documents and called them Monday morning. The kids had already installed the headrest DVD when the phone rang. Seems there was a problem with their credit they were unaware of. They'd have to return the SUV to the dealership immediately. Embarrassing, to say the least.
www.repairmycreditnow.com.
Hello, this is Doug Parker with RepairMyCreditNow.com. Do you have less than perfect credit, a repo, maybe some late payments, a collection account? Are they being reported accurately? Studies show that over 70% of Americans have inaccuracies on their credit reports. Where do you fit in? Go to RepairMyCreditNow.com for your free credit report evaluation. And remember, your credit is your future. If you want to get started now, log on now. RepairMyCreditNow.com.
RepairMyCreditNow.com. www.repairmycreditnow.com.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we're wrapping up the show with Carl Gould. What a great person he's been. I mean, it's great information. He's really dropping nuggets about how he grows his business, what's on the next, you know, what's the next project he's working on. And you've heard him talk about magazines and books he's writing and 5,000 businesses he's helped to launch and done three of them on his own that are multi-million dollar businesses. But all that grind will create kind of some burnout. He talked a little bit about that. Now he's doing things he loves. But, Carl, let's talk for just a moment about what is it that you do to recharge your ambitious body, mind, and spirit? I mean, what is it? Do you have favorite movies? Do you like to exercise? I mean, what does your daily activities look like?
That's a great question because, you know, I think I'm a good example of work hard, play hard, but my schedule is so schizophrenic. I remember the days when I used to hide the fact that I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning doing emails, and I used to set my timer so the email would go out at 9 a.m. And at some point I said, you know what, forget it. I'm not even pretending anymore. You know, I'm one of these guys that is up in the middle of the night. I don't sleep all that much, you know, very active mind. But when it's time to recharge, boy, do I need to, turn off. And so I do a couple of things. So the beginning of every week, I look forward at the week, Doug, and I create my weekly plan. And I say to myself, where do I want to advance and progress in my life and in my roles and in my business? So I feel like I'm being the person I want to be each week, not just doing the things I'm supposed to do. And then I've dictated all of my goals and my bucket list into an audio recorder. So every morning, I could tell you how long it is. It's 9 minutes long, and I could tell you how long it takes for me to take a shower. You probably didn't think you were going to get that information today, but it takes about 9 minutes. And so what I do is so I play my goals back on from my audio recorder each and every morning, and I listen to it when I'm in the shower, and you know it reminds me of what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and how I'm going about it every day. So by the time my day starts, I feel like I've just been shot out of a cannon. So that really pumps me up on a daily basis. But like anything else, that can, you know, that's a battery that needs to be recharged. And I have found for me, Doug, that every 2 weeks is kind of the rhythm where I need to take a day, a half day, and crash, nap, go to bed early, get a little extra sleep, or get into an environment that is slow and is quiet. And that meaning, you know, like I will, I'll go to the golf course and just hit drive golf balls. You know, it's nice and quiet, take my time. It's funny, I go there, I'm barefoot, you know, and they, you know, I go there and I'm just chilling out, enjoying the grass on my feet, you know, the birds chirping, hitting a bucket of balls, or I'll go, I live in New Jersey, so I'm near the beach. I'll just go walk on the beach. 12 months out of the year, I'll go down there, walk near the waves. And just, and I, where I live is in the mountains. And so I'll go for a hike in the woods. And I just like to get out and among nature. And I feel that's a real balancing act for me. It puts me, it gets me back to my kind of center of gravity. And I just feel recharged. I feel like, you know, I've put a lot of energy out there and I just get all that energy right back in. And so that kind of, that kind of settles me. And I'm a big movie goer. I like to, I go to movies almost every weekend. Go with the kids, go with my wife, and we like, I like to go out and go to events, so concerts and festivals and that sort of thing. So when I can go out and be a participant, I find that to be relaxing. I don't have to be on, if you know what I mean. As a radio host, you know what that's like. Mm-hmm. But as a participant, it's very relaxing. Actually, me being your guest today is very relaxing because I don't have to own the logistics and the housekeeping of the show. I can just share freely, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you don't sleep a lot because you've got a very active mind. And, you know, that's the thing I found over the years is with anybody, some of the things that you are absolutely best at, you know, it's a blessing and a curse because in some ways it's what makes you who you are and you go kill it in the business world. But then in other areas it can kind of, you know, wreak havoc. So, you know, you're not sleeping a lot, but you've gotten a way to kind of process through all that. But what does an average day of sleep look like? Do you have any kind of rhythm of going to bed or waking up or a certain amount of hours you need to operate?
6 hours is probably the optimum. You know, if I fall asleep early after dinner at 9, I promise you I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and ready to rock and roll. If I go to bed 11 o'clock and wake up at 5, that would probably be the ideal if I can put it into a box. That would be ideal for me.
And do you try to have that rhythm or do you just fly by the seat of your pants and just do whatever you got to do?
I do my best, but if I'm not tired, Doug, I just can't fall asleep. I'd say, you know what? Today's the day. I'm not that tired, but I'm going to go to bed early because my body needs it. And I will sit in bed from 9 o'clock to 11, staring at the wall until I finally pick out a book, read something, put a movie on, and then hopefully crash. So I've just learned to not fight it and to listen to my body. And when it says it's time for bed, go to bed. And when it's time to get up, get up. And stop apologizing for it. I've tried to get onto a regular cadence, but it is just, I'm 51 years old. It has just never worked for me. As a matter of fact, my first book was called With the Light On because even as a kid, I would be up in the middle of the night reading because I was wide awake. Mm-hmm. And had a ton of energy.
Yeah, it's like I said, it can be a blessing and a curse. So let's talk about, you know, from a work-life balance, so many entrepreneurs, so many people out there that are wanting to make it happen. You know, you can give a hundred. People talk about giving 110%, which is an impossibility. But maybe you're giving 100% to your business life, and then, you know, during business hours. But sometimes that carries over. Do you have that work-life balance figured out at all, or is it out of rhythm? Can you talk about that at all?
It can get out of rhythm. There's no question. But I think you have to look at it from two ways. One, work-life balance is mostly for people who are doing work or a job that they don't love, meaning I have to shut off completely from work. I have to go to life. I'm on when it's life, and then I shut that down. I go to work, and I have to compartmentalize. But I think now it's more about integration. You know, I integrate life into work and work into life. I do have to maintain boundaries. I'm very good about shutting the phone off, turning off email, and being present. So in integration, I think it's being present with where you're at. So for example, I do a lot of speaking, as you know, and so I went to a franchise conference this past weekend. I took the whole family. We went there for the day. I know some people that were exhibiting, and you know, they give out samples, and there's all sorts of activities. So I said to the kids, go ahead, bring a friend, and I'll turn you loose on the floor. I know some people, so you've got your little stations. Go have a blast. And we did. And we had a wonderful day. We went into the city, had some fun, went to the conference for a little bit. I got the little bit of work I needed done. Then we headed into Times Square, did some shopping, took a bicycle taxi. We had a blast. And so we integrated life and work together. And that's what I have found has worked for me, because I can't turn it on. I have not found a way in the work that I do to turn it on and turn it off, because I'm, you know, in the circles that I travel in, I'm somewhat of a public figure. So you can't, you know, there's no on and off switch. So I've learned to integrate more, but I've also learned, like, I have date night with the kids. The phone goes off. Wednesday night is my date night. We go to dinner every Wednesday, and with rare exceptions, we miss. But when I do that, the phone gets shut off and I'm totally with the kids. You know, when it's date night with my wife, do the same thing. The key is, for me at least, presence. Wherever I'm at, be there and be there fully. And I think that's what I have found to be more the secret sauce than try to. I don't think balance is possible. And my experience with balance is that most people get bored with it anyway. And so balance, you know, I think most people would sabotage their own perception of balance, even if they found it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. And that being present, you know, that's the one thing that I personally do struggle with. And it's the little things. Life somehow will go on, you know, without you answering that phone call or that text message or whatever the case is. It doesn't seem like it sometimes at the time, but if you can figure out a way, whether it's you look at it as balance or being present in the moment, or, you know, I think you said maintain boundaries. So protecting that amount of time, and it might be, you know, for my family, it's, you know, Sunday mornings, it's basically church. So it's going to a breakfast and then going to church afterwards. There's a few hours there, but other than that, the rest of the time is pretty much game on for anything that goes. But with those things being said, we've gotten to the end of the show. It's hard to believe we've already fast forwarded through a whole entire hour of our lives. But I do want to just ask, if someone wanted to engage with you, are you social? Are you out there on the web? How's the best way for someone to get in touch with you if they would be interested in communicating with you?
Well, thank you. I'm pretty easy to find on the internet, Carl Gould. So I can give you my website, email, and Twitter handle all in one. And it's carl@carlgould.com. So carlgould.com, obviously my website. At Carl Gould is my Twitter handle. carl@carlgould.com is my email address. And if you wanted to call me directly, I've got a toll-free number. It's pretty easy to remember. It's not about the toll-free, but easy to remember. 877-99-GOULD. So if you call that number, that'll get right to my office. And we will advise you, and we will help you get to the next level. And we'll see if there's a match for us to work with you long-term.
Well, I appreciate you so much carving out some time to share with our audience the things that you've done over the years. And I really just can't thank you enough. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Doug. This has been a treat.
Well, all righty, sir. I appreciate that so much. And thanks to our sponsors, Ambitious Radio. Could not do it without you. Tune in on Saturdays to Ambitious Radio, where we interview thought leaders and exciting entrepreneurs changing the faces of their organizations. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
Thank you for listening to the Ambitious Radio Network, hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders on topics that can be applied immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.